May we please all stand for the reading of God's Word. Today's verse is Romans 8, 18 through 28. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation that was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of its spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in the hope that we are were saved, but hope that is seen and no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good, for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. May God add a blessing to the reading of His word.
So this morning, or last night, when I was trying to practice, which didn't get to happen until pretty late because my baby girl was not letting it happen, which I've always hated daylight savings time, but wow, it's pretty terrible when you have a 3-month-old. I realized that this is the third year in a row that I've preached on Daylight Savings Sunday, so I'm tapping out for next year. All right, so as many of you know, like I just said, I recently had a baby, Miss Elizabeth, or Lizzie as we like to call her, was born the day after Thanksgiving, which Evan likes to say that we got the best thing ever on Black Friday, better than anything that you could ever buy, which is true. So I was 42 weeks pregnant, and they had to induce me in order to get her to come out. For those of you who might be going, huh? That means that I was 2 weeks past my due date and very, very, very pregnant. And yes, you can be very, very, very pregnant. and they had to give me medicine in order to get my body going to actually start the whole labor process. And I was holding out on being induced for a long time for a few reasons. I wanted my body to do what it naturally is supposed to do. And there's some side effects I didn't really want to be exposed to with that medicine. But also, the medicine that they give you, it's called Pitocin, it makes things more intense, aka it hurts a lot more. So needless to say, as we went into the hospital on Thanksgiving night, I was feeling a lot of feelings. Because on the other hand, I also knew that the next time we were coming home, I was going to have my baby girl in her arms. So I was feeling excited and scared and full of hope and anticipation, and I was starting to get a taste of this love that I had never experienced before. So now you're all probably like, yeah, this is nice stuff, but I came to hear a sermon, not your birth story. Well, too bad, or maybe you're in luck, depending on who you are, because you're going to get both. That's what my seminary professor from my preaching class would call a non-traditional sermon. It's also going to be a really short sermon, so again, too bad, or maybe you're in luck, depending on who you are. But as I was thinking about this series that Kelly started a couple weeks ago on spiritual disciplines, I was actually reminded of the whole labor and delivery process. Because when we engage in spiritual disciplines, we grow spiritually and relationally with God. We're really on this journey when it comes to spiritual growth and our relationship with God. We start right off and we're super excited when we first come to know Jesus. We're on fire. We're full of anticipation of what life is going to be like now that we're living with Jesus in it. And we're experiencing the small taste of a brand new love that we've never been awakened to. And this is how I felt as I was going into the hospital that night. The thing is, that feeling can start to fade. The excitement and the anticipation about walking with God is not as exciting anymore, because as we grow, things start to hurt. And back at the hospital, things were definitely starting to hurt. They had started my the Pitocin and an IV, and then they were like, try to get some sleep. First of all, when you're 42 weeks pregnant, sleep is not really a thing that you get to do very much of. It's really uncomfortable. And then also, like, I have this IV with this medicine that can start labor at any time. Like, sure, yeah, I'll sleep. No, I didn't sleep. Evan got to a little bit. But I started feeling some, like, smallish pains, but I let Evan sleep a little longer just because I was like, someone should get some rest before this all ramps up. But after a while, things started to get more intense, and I had to wake him up so that he could be there with me. And I had wanted to go through labor without any pain medication at all. It was actually something I really, really wanted from the beginning of pregnancy for this birth experience. Many reasons for that, too. But a big one was, in birth class, we learned about epidurals and the possible side effects that come with epidurals, and they were terrifying. So I was like, no, not so much. So as the pain began to get more and more intense, I started to think that maybe those possible complications didn't sound so bad. But I held out. And because of the Pitocin, my contractions were pretty intense, and they were only 30 seconds apart. And just in case you don't know, contractions are the thing that basically make labor hurt. For the stage of labor I was in, they're usually about 1 to 2 minutes apart, not 30 seconds, and those 1 to 2 minutes lets you cope with the pain and have a little break. But I didn't have that. The contractions just kept coming, 30 seconds apart, unrelenting. And the only coping mechanism I really had was making this long, low, groaning noise that I'm pretty sure scarred Evan for life. I had read that it was really good for coping and to open up your body to make noises and things like that, and I wish I could say that's why I was doing it, but no, it was involuntary. That's what my body needed to do in order to deal with the pain. And it was this part of labor that came to mind when I was reading our scripture passage for today a couple weeks ago when I was filling in for Tony during Loving God 2. We read it, and all of a sudden it had a whole new meaning to me. So let's read that. It's Romans 8, starting in verse 18. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory God will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. We know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We, too, wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I'm not sure if you noticed this, but in three separate instances in this passage, the word groan is mentioned. First, we see creation groans, then believers groan, and then the Holy Spirit groans on our behalf. Those aren't coincidences. When Scripture repeats something multiple times in a passage like that, it's important. And I think oftentimes, I think we're told or we expect that once we have Jesus living with us in our lives, that we get happily ever after. And in a way, we do. Because there are incredible assurances that come with the promises God makes to God's children. However, happily ever after doesn't mean that we're going to be without pain or suffering, even when we're following God. It's when we are engaging in spiritual practices, like listening for God in the silence, where we hear God point out what's keeping us from God. The changes we have to make when we are growing can hurt. And this passage even likens them to the pain of childbirth. Because while I was groaning and hunched over in pain, I knew that the pain was necessary and good. And it was good because I knew that my body was doing the work. My body was working really hard to get my baby girl out. And I knew that it was necessary because when the pain was over, she was going to be here. So as I kept this in mind, the contractions kept coming, 30 seconds apart, and I was hitting my breaking point. Early on in my pregnancy, Evan and I met with our doula, my good friend. Doula is like a birth coach. And my friend Rachel. And we had decided that I had to ask on three separate contractions for an epidural before I could actually have one. Because I really wanted to go without pain medication. Well, I asked on three separate occasions. More like five. And the last few were like... because I couldn't actually say that, like, vocalize anything. So I got the epidural, and things definitely got easier after that, but I was still pretty uncomfortable because I was stuck in my bed. And I was numb, or not numb, but I couldn't move from here, from my waist down, and it took a considerable amount of people to even help me turn over in bed. Three people. Great. So I was stuck. And it wasn't the greatest. And that happens in life too, doesn't it? We're growing and growing and growing. And then all of a sudden the growing pains stop. But so does everything else. And it doesn't matter that we're still engaging in our spiritual practices or the things that helped us grow before. We just are where we are. It's those times where we might get frustrated with the waiting. We're waiting for something to happen, and it just doesn't. Well, after the epidural, that's what we were doing. We were waiting and waiting and waiting for hours. To give you some idea, I got the epidural around 6 a.m., and Lizzie was born at 9:27 p.m. So... yeah, a lot of waiting. The waiting also struck me when I was reading this passage that we're reading today. The very first line in the passage, verse 18, says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory God will reveal to us later." Suffer now for the glory later. And it goes on, The whole passage talks about the future and the promises God has made for the future. In verses 19, 21, 23, 24, and 25, they all talk about future and waiting. The waiting on God to work and for you to work on yourself. The work be changing your behavior, changing your thinking, offering grace to someone or offering grace to yourself. So we were waiting and waiting and waiting for my body to kick into gear and get to the next stage of labor. And finally, after hours, the pain started again. I still had my epidural, but the medicine was wearing off, and I started to feel my body do the work again. I started feeling the urge to push, and I got so excited because I knew that I was about to meet my baby girl. The anticipation, the hope, the excitement, the love, it was all back, and I was ready to do anything that needed to be done to get her here. So I started to push. And this was probably the hardest thing I'd ever done up until that point. And any of you who had a child might understand that. It was very physically challenging and it was painful. But I just kept thinking that each push was getting me closer and closer to her. So after an hour and a half of pushing, Elizabeth was born. And she was placed on my chest. And I got to hold her for the first time. And that night, when Evan was sleeping and it was dark and quiet, I was holding her in bed and we were just staring at each other. And I was in complete awe of this amazing new love that I had never experienced before. And that is what happens with us and God. We start off full of anticipation, full of hope, excitement, and this taste of an incredible new love that we've never experienced before. And then we start to grow, and it hurts. It's hard work, and we find things out about ourselves that maybe we don't like very much. We find out the things that are keeping us from God. Then, if we're still holding on, we sit and wait. We wait to hear from God. We wait to get the courage up to make the changes that we need to make. And then we start to feel the pain again. And we push through and we approach God on this whole new level of closeness. We've taken the obstacles away that were keeping us from our Creator. And now we get to be held in God's arms and stare up in complete awe of this amazing love. So as we keep talking about spiritual disciplines and you integrate them into your life, just remember that at times it may hurt. You might want to give up. You might question whether it's worth it. But in the pain, remember, just like in this birth story, in my pain, it led to something really, really beautiful. That this pain is leading to something amazing. It's leading to a deep, meaningful, intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe, who is offering up an unconditional love that only God could give. Let's pray. Creator God, Lord, I thank you for the gift of life. I thank you for this journey that we are on that brings us closer to you. I pray that as we experience pain and suffering, that we would hold on tighter. We wouldn't let go. We wouldn't stray. That we would know that it's all worth it to get to see you more clearly. We love you. We thank you. Amen.